My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
But that's not God's design for you. God has another design. You got to discover it. And you've got to find it. And your soul and your spirit has to rise to a new level in order to fulfill that divine design. That's why you get saved. We call it being saved or the new birth. That means you're born again. I take that literally, because you literally must be born again in order to fulfill that new divine design. And that's the reason why you can't walk in the flesh. You got to walk in the spirit. And I understand what you're saying. I know that all of you are in the flesh here tonight. Not in the carnal sense, but in the fact that I'm glad you're not standing here in the spirit. In your spirit form. You're here in bodily form. But yet, you make the choice to operate in the spirit through your worship, your praise, your decision for Christ, your choice to serve the Lord, because you want that new design. Well, here's a component, and I've been talking about this quite a bit in the last several Sunday nights that I've been preaching. I've been talking about the rise of the soul. You've got to rise above your natural design in order to fulfill the spiritual design that God has for you. And Isaiah 40 and 31 gives you one of those keys that you've got to have. This is how you can live for God in an ungodly world. This is how Daniel can survive and thrive in a Babylonian court. This is how people who are seemingly trashed by the world can rise above it and be victorious. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You got to know the source of your strength. I get my strength from above. Now, I'm not against going to the gym, and some of you don't even know what a gym is. It's been a long time since you've been there. But that's not where you get your strength from. You get your strength from the Lord. And you get your strength from above. And when you learn how to do that, you become your divine design. You rise above the flesh and the carnal mind. And that's what happens to people who find and discover their strength. Strength from above. God bless you. You may be seated. The fact is, apostolic believers can and will be afflicted. That is too evident to be questioned. Virtue is not trouble-proof. Goodness is not insurance against disaster. And spirituality does not exempt you from temptation. It is a common thing for a man whose life is a ministry of grace to be dogged by calamity. It's not unusual for a godly woman whose life is a mission of mercy to be grievously tried. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ does not promise exemption from pain, but he knows how to take your pain and transform it into praise. It does not say throw away your cross, but the Bible tells you to take up your cross and follow him. It does not escape life's burdens, but God commands us in the Word to bear our burdens. Now, here's the reason why so many times you hear preachers all over America. You heard Brother Paul Welch, and I'm sure you heard Brother D.L. Welch talk about your attitude. Here's the lever that sort of puts you in one realm or the other, and that is your attitude. There are three possible attitudes that you can take that you can respond to your lot in life. And the first one is rebellion. You can rebel against it. You can resent your lot. You may rise up with indignant protest against what God or what your natural order is and say, God, I'm defying your cause and I'm defying your word. You might say, oh God, if you exist, lift this burden, right this wrong. And if you're there and what you claim to be, deliver me, make me happy. And if you fail, I will deny you and defy your law. Some meet their own trouble when they adopt that attitude. It's the worst course you can follow because of this reason. It changes nothing. Even after you have shown an attitude of rebellion, you're still stuck. Your life is still a mess and you're still miserable and you haven't helped yourself one bit. Your burden is not lightened, nor is strength gained. I don't make any difference how long the bear and the bird wears out its wings and its roar, fighting against its cage. It will not give it freedom. Man may denounce his maker and curse his fate, but he has not made his burden lighter because rebellion is not redemption. I'm not coming to church just simply to say I'm going to be satisfied with the way I was born naturally. I am here because I believe it is possible for man to be better than the natural order of his first birth. I don't believe we've got to be trapped in our sins and in our carnal minds. I believe our attitude can be of such that transforms us into a whole new realm where we can be the sons of God that God has called us to be. We can be worshipers in this hour. We can be good people in this hour. We can be loving Christians in this hour. We can show the good works of our Father. First attitude is rebellion. Second attitude is endurance. Some people just say, well, this is just the way I am and I just have to accept it. And they've got that firm resolve to have no resolve. He may recognize this trial with heroic submission and make the best of things. And we may say what can't be cured must be endured. And without a murmur, stagger on under his load. That is one way to meet the troubles of life. And it seems to be the proper response. But nevertheless, there is no virtue in you just sitting there and suffering. And there is no virtue you being there and being all messed up about your lot in life. Well, I can't change my circumstance and I can't change anybody. And listen, you can't change anybody else. I've tried. I've tried to change people in my life, but I can't change them. The only person I can barely change myself. Much less anybody else, but I'm thankful that there is a place in God. Endurance is not redemption. Just sitting there and accepting your lot in life is not good enough. You need a better attitude than that. You need to get a better attitude. You've heard Brother Welch say, you need a better attitude. You need a good attitude. Well, I'm going to give you the right attitude. I'm not just going to rebuke you for the wrong one. I'm going to give you the right one. Your attitude needs to be one of victory. I declare it in Jesus' name. I've got victory through Jesus Christ. I've got victory to overcome my flesh. I've got victory to overcome my lot in life. I don't have to sit there and mourn and be bitter over the way things are. I can rejoice because my God can lift me out of them. And my burden can become a pillar. And my cross can become a weapon. And I say, church, let's draw our weapons and fight like we have never fought before. The only way to this is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way a Christian can ascend and rise to the higher level. That's the reason why I've got the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why I speak with other tongues. It puts me in touch with another power. It connects me to a power that is above me, higher than me, greater than me. Paul carried a burden which he called a thorn in the flesh. It seemed to impede him, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It tormented him night and day like a sharp thorn stabbing into his life. It clinged to him with tenacity and it tortured his spirit. And he asked God, it doesn't seem fair to him. It doesn't even seem fair to us who read about it. Why didn't God take the thorn in the flesh? But it was through that thorn that Paul realized God's grace is sufficient. And he understood the principle now that though I am weak, he is made strong. And though I can't do it in my flesh, I've got another strength I'm connected to. And by his strength, I can overcome. But we got too many passive people. They're taught by our country. They're taught by our government and our educational system to be passive. Just accept your fate. There's nothing you can do about it. How you were born, that's just how you're going to be. That is a life from hell. That goes all the way back to the Hindu concept of a caste system. I don't believe it. I don't care how you were born in the natural birth. I can be born again by water and spirit and become who Jesus says I can be. Look at it any way you want to. This preacher is going to rise above the fray and say, devil, you have bound me for the last time. I wish somebody would look at the devil right now and say, you're not going to bind me in my first birth because I have found dominion. You don't know what I'm going through. I may not know what you're going through, but you don't know the power of my God. He is strong enough to lift you. He's strong enough to deliver you. He's strong enough to make something better out of you. God don't have to remove every wall and every enemy in your life to get you to worship. All you need to find out is his grace is sufficient in the face of opposition, in the face of adversity. God's grace is sufficient. There is sustaining strength. There is power. It's the declaration of the Almighty that whosoever trusts him shall not be confounded. It's a guarantee of the King of Kings that every believer in his kingdom would be equipped with this abiding protection and strength. So you've got to stop the whine. W-H. Since you don't know how to spell, we'll do a spelling bee, Brother Malcolm. W-H-I-N-E. You got to stop the whine. Yeah, I can tell y'all really excited about that one. Stop complaining. You're the most favored people on this planet. I happen to fly all over the world. I go to all kinds of different countries. I'm in the small villages as well as in their capital cities. And I promise you, you have nothing to whine about. That the poorest person in this building is considered to be a millionaire in India. You say, well, I don't have any money. Well, I promise you, they don't have anything, period. Nothing. But yet they praise and they worship God. Get the wine out and put the praise on. That's why I want you to clap your hands. That's why I want you to praise your God. I promise you that God does not need to lighten your load. He needs to give you greater strength, broader shoulders, and stronger arms. God needs to give you grace. I said grace, so that you can rise above it, so that you can be who God wants you to be. I say, church, it's time for us to believe and to trust in the strength from above. There is grace for the struggle. There is help for adversity. God does give songs in the night, and he doesn't want you to go around with your head down because you're a Christian. But somebody made fun of me because I'm a Christian. Don't hang your head down. Throw your head back up. That's what Brother J.T. Pugh taught us as young preachers. He said, do not walk with your head down. He said, I want you to throw your shoulder. You are a child of God, and you are a son of the King. You are royalty. Put your head up. God's going to pick you up, and he's going to get you through whatever you're going through. And so I'm just going to tell you, don't you hang your head because you don't have everything you want in life. You've got Jesus, and that is greater than natural possessions. That is greater than a big bank account. That is greater than a Lamborghini. That's greater than driving a Porsche. I wish somebody would preach with me here tonight. I don't want to be up here by myself just looking up at you. I want to find out, is anybody glad you're in the house of the Lord? Has anybody got the attitude of victory? I've got the victory. Hallelujah. You say, but I'm going through a storm. Your storm is not your peril. Your attitude towards your storm is your peril. The storm has been sent to develop you. Because without the storm, you don't know where you're at. You need sustaining grace. It'll change your hurts into help. But I've been hurt. It ought to change it into help if you've got true Jesus and your attitude's right. You didn't want to hear that either, did you? I promise you that the anticipated burdens of life can crush you more than the actual burden itself, because most of the stuff we think are going to happen never happens. How many of you know that most of what you worry about, probably 95% of what you worry about, has not happened, will never happen, but you're still worried about it, and you want me to pick you up against an imaginary foe that doesn't even exist? We got too many imaginations running wild saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and we got this and we got that, and there's going to be a meltdown here and a meltdown there. Why don't you just go on and praise the Lord? God is going to give you the strength to go through whatever happens. Don't tell me he's not. Listen, he's brought us this far. He's going to take us the rest of the way. And I'm not going to sit there and let the devil shackle me just because this natural order is a bad deal. When I see God pouring out his spirit in Muslim countries that we can't even tell you about because they'll hunt them down and kill them. But I promise you, the Holy Ghost is being poured out in the Muslim world. God's pouring out the Holy Ghost in China. They'll arrest every one of our preachers if we tell you how many people are getting the Holy Ghost in China. There is no communistic government. There is no oppressive government that can stop the Word of God. There's too much power in the Word of God. You can't stop it. Jesus will triumph. Hallelujah. So, okay, Brother Kinsey, I want this victory. I want it. I want this strength. I want the right attitude. How many of you want the right attitude now? How many of you want to get the wine out? W-H-I-N-E. Of course, you shouldn't be drinking wine, W-I-N-E, either. So you need to get the wine out. I'm talking about W-H-I-N-E. You get the praise on and put Jesus in your life. Now here, I'm going to show you how to do this, because this is what you've got to learn. This will help correct your attitude. This will show you what you need to do. You cannot fight tomorrow's battles today. You can't carry next week's burdens now. We borrow trouble from the future, and our deepest anxieties are for that which never comes to pass. God keeps life in the present moment. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But his promise is, this is it, as your days, so shall your strength be. One may not be able to stand up against the burdens of a decade, but you can win the burden of the hour. If all the weights of life were laid on you at once, it would crush you immediately. But God does not do that. That's what you do to yourself, and that's what the devil's trying to do to you tonight. Your back would break under the heavy load if you tried to take all of your future burdens on now. But God said, I will not give you strength for the future, but I will give you strength for the day. Hallelujah. Brother Kinsey, I can't go another step. Let me get a hold of you. I guarantee you, you'll go another step. Or you'll wish you had a, you can go another step. There's just no way. I can't worship God one more time. It's just, I've tried and I failed. Get the wine out of your spirit. Don't try to wait till tomorrow. That's what's wrong with Pentecost now. We're always waiting for the next great evangelist to get our blessing. And I'm telling you right now, on this Sunday night, going back to school tomorrow, you can get strength right now. Why? Steve, you better be glad you're holding that baby over there, because I was going to make you run if you weren't. Praise the Lord. He knew. I told him what I was going to do, and he's holding that baby. Oh, he's using that baby as a shield. Good move, buddy. Good move. But I'll tell you right now, there's strength in this service right now, this hour. God doesn't have to wait for a magic moment. You need to quit waiting for a magic bullet. You need to rise up and say, now, faith, now, faith, now my God is able to move. You can get your strength now. All right, okay, I got him. Hallelujah, he handed that baby off quick. Must need a diaper changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, but I'm so glad that I've got a God that's able to give me strength now. Now strength. Now faith. Today. Quit trying to borrow your troubles from tomorrow. Get a faith that'll work now. So here's the concept that you've got to get in your mind. You got to get in your mind you're blessed now. You got to get in your mind, I'm blessed right now. Because whenever the parable of the 11th hour and all the different people that Jesus hired to go out into his field and to work, and then he gave them all a penny. He gave the ones in the 11th hour that he hired at the last minute, he gave them a penny, and he gave the penny to the people that he hired at the very first of the day who worked through the whole day, and they got the same thing. And so they got mad, and they said, you gave the 11th hour brothers the same penny that you gave us, and we've been working the whole day. Well, and this is the way I try to describe that, because I really believe this. I believe that there are going to be people that on the very day that Jesus returns, the very day, there are going to be people that are going to get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're going to be saved. And I've lived for God all of my life. I've been in this thing all of my life, and I've lived for God. I had the Holy Ghost before I even knew what the Holy Ghost was. I was like 10 or 11. I started preaching when I was 11. I've been preaching ever since then. I have never stopped. And so I've been preaching since I was 11. I went full time at the age of 17, and I've never looked back, and I'm still here in Pensacola. You got me on your hands. I've never looked back, okay. Guess what? I'm going to get the same New Jerusalem. I'm going to get the same robe of righteousness. The one who gets it the same day lived for the devil all of their life, but God's going to save them on the day he comes back. And you know what? I'm not going to go up to Jesus and say, what's that dude doing here? I'm telling you, if he lets me in, he can save anybody he wants to. That's the attitude you got to get. That's an attitude of victory. That's the attitude that throws the lever and causes you to rise. That puts the Holy Ghost hydraulics into your life and lifts you. You see, some of you just don't have the lift. And you've got to understand how it works. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Brother Gary, I've really been picking on you. And so now I'm going to let you be Jesus to redeem myself from such harshness that I have treated you. Come on up here, Jesus, and sit down on this little step right here, if you don't mind. I don't like to order Jesus around, but it kind of feels good. Because I assure you, he don't take orders from me. But I sure am trying to get my flesh in alignment with him to take my orders from him. Did y'all get that? See, that was a very powerful point, and I got 3 hand claps right there. That was my most powerful point tonight. And y'all, well, we want eggs and grits and bacon. Hallelujah. You'll get it in just a minute. I'm almost done. But this is, you got to get in your mind. You've got to have the right attitude about suffering. Because everybody in here, and I've heard many of your stories, and there's a lot of suffering in your story. I mean, it hasn't been easy. I'm talking about people that have served God that are golden, golden people, and they've suffered. I don't understand suffering. I don't either. But you got to get a right attitude towards it, because it happens to everybody. I said it happens to everybody. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got to recognize that that's a part of life. And God uses suffering. But he says your shoes are going to be iron and brass. And as your days, so shall your strength be. So if you understand this, God, this principle, God will take you through the storm and the suffering so he can prepare you and he can bless you. In New Jersey, there's a splendid angel stone statue that's carved out of a single solid block that went, it weighed 13 tons when they started to work on it. And when they finished, it only weighed 6 tons, and they had to cut away 7 tons. Over half was cut away to free the angel that was locked inside the block. And some of you, I don't want to call you a blockhead, but you're like a block. I mean, how many of you know you can be stubborn? You're like a block. And so God puts you in the storm because he's trying to bring an angel out of you. He's trying to carve something into your life. He's trying to make something out of you. You got to let him cut away all that mess. How many of you know you got about 12 tons that needs to be removed? Oh, hallelujah. He said, I want you to know that his burden, according to Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason is because the spirit outlives and outvalues the flesh. But this is how I've learned to do it. And I do this every day. Because you see, waiting on God, now you're God, or Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, okay? Now you're sitting there, not doing anything, okay? This is our concept of waiting. And this is what we do. We go sit down, and we're looking at God, and we're saying, now why don't you help me? God, Jesus, Gary, do something. I'm sitting here waiting on you to do something. And I've been waiting a long time. And if I sit here, I'm going to be waiting until I die. And guess what? God's going to be sitting right there. The word wait, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, does not mean to sit around and wait for him to do something. The word wait means to minister to. This is how you get your strength. They that wait upon the Lord. You don't get it any other way than waiting on him. You got to put the menu in his hands. You got to get a menu. And this piece of paper is not going to work for me. I got to get the real menu. It's this black back book called the Bible. That's the menu. You're ministering to Jesus. While he's sitting down doing nothing, you're up praising and worshiping and say, here's the menu. Jesus, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Not what can you do, but what do you want me to do? You say, but what you're doing's not good enough. Of course it's not good enough. It's never been good enough. But when you're submitted to him, there's an avenue opened for him to correct your attitude. What do you want from me tonight? I want you to clap your hands. I want you to bless me. I want you to shout and dance before me like these young people were doing up here. And I got in here and I went for a little while and that was as far as I could go with them. Brendan came up to me and wanted me to shout with him, and I lasted for 30 seconds. Praise God. But at least I shouted with him for 30 seconds. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to get busy. I'm going to find out what he wants, because as I do what he wants me to do, it throws a lever in my life and spiritual hydraulics begin to lift me. Y'all can be seated. Here's where you get your strength. Now, the Old Testament does not bear this out, because the Jewish people could not create this concept. This concept was foreign to their religion and their theology. And I've studied all of their theology, and I'm a student of Jewish theology, and I promise you, it's just not there. They just don't have it. But the New Testament and the New Covenant has it. Ha! Woo! Amen. I love it when Jesus gets to teaching. He's masterful. Because he said, when you come in from the field and you've been working, he said, your job is to get your apron on. Amen. Brother Jeremy, give me your coat. Get your apron on. Sit your master down and minister to him. That's the Jewish concept right there. Get your little apron on. Amen. I don't mean to mess up your little coat here. Get your apron on and you minister to him. You wait on him like you would a restaurant, and you put the menu in his hands and you minister to him. Whatever you want, God, whatever you desire, I want to be what you want me to be, because I want to rise. I want to become my divine design. So I'm putting it in your hands, and I need your strength to do that. I'm not going to do that on my own. There's no self-help book. There's no positive mental attitude you can get that will lift you to the divine design. You need something more. You got to have him to do that. So I'm ministering. I'm praising God. Yeah, we're loud around here, and we don't make any apology for it. And we're not doing it to offend anybody, but because of that, that's what's on the menu. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you people. Clap your hand. Let me say it again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you people. Some of you hadn't made any noise yet. You just sitting here with your little teeth in your mouth. All right. Here's what happens. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Whoa, I love it. I could quote that and just start shouting on my own quotation. It's just that powerful. I've experienced it. But Jesus introduced this in the New Testament. He said, you come in from the field, you gird yourself about, and you minister to the master. Then he says, the master shall rise from the table. Ha! Hey, my Jesus. And he shall gird himself about. Let's put your girdle on here. Your mantle. Amen. Let's get this tied up just right. Okay, so these young people, because they won't be able to understand it if I just scream it at them. I've got to show them. Bless their heart. You know, it's the show and tell time in school. Praise God. And then he will sit you down. Yes. It's not in the Jewish theology, but it is in the New Covenant theology. He said, he will sit you down. Church, if Jesus ever sits you at the table, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Because he puts the menu in your hands and says, whatever you want. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. That's how you get your strength. That's how you get your victory. That's how you throw the lever and create the lift. You ever read in the Psalms where he's the lifter of mine head? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. You know what he was saying there, don't you? Somebody's got to throw that lever that creates the lift. See, one moment, You feel a little awkward in his presence. You don't know why, but it's because your flesh is trying to keep you locked up so you can't be lifted. So I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like everybody loves me. Guess what? Ain't nobody ever, all people aren't gonna always love you anyway, so you're gonna have to learn to deal with that fact. Some people just don't like you because of the way you look. Your nose is funny. You don't comb your hair the way they want you to. Well, I'm sorry. I love you anyway. My job is not to be loved, but to love. My job is not to be encouraged, but to encourage. So I get more joy out of encouraging people. I'll never forget many years ago in Winnsboro, my wife and I were preaching a revival for Brother Hawthorne. Right before that revival, a very wonderful man in their church who had three boys, beautiful, lovely wife, was killed in a very tragic accident. A tree, they were cutting down trees, they were loggers, and a tree fell on him and killed him instantly. It's a terrible tragedy for the church, terrible blow for the church, because this was a great family in the church. She came to that revival. And of course, you can only imagine the effect of such a tragedy would have on the church. It would be very devastating, the suffering and the pain and the questions and why. And I began to preach. And I just really, you know, just preached the word. That's all I knew to do. Because I knew that the church would be a hard situation to deal with. But I preached the word and the anointing of the Lord came down. And what broke the revival open on the first night is this lady, after suffering that loss, got out in the aisle and began to praise and began to worship. And she danced before the Lord. And she danced before the Lord. Now, I told the church, I said, now, I could not ask this precious lady to do this. I don't think anybody could ask her to do something like this because the heaviness of the burden that she's carrying with the sudden loss of her husband and having to raise these three boys all by herself is going to be a very difficult burden for anybody to bear. But she wasn't bitter. She didn't sit in the back. She didn't sulk. She didn't blame nobody. She danced before the Lord. And when she started dancing, that church went absolutely ballistic. And if you've ever seen an apostolic church go ballistic, I mean, you thought it was ballistic tonight. This was mild. And brother, we had revival. I don't know how many people we had get the Holy Ghost in that revival. It was just so many we couldn't count them all. And it was just exploded 30 years after that revival. I was at a camp meeting. And that lady, I did not recognize her, did not know. She came up and hugged my neck. And I said, well, praise God. Not used to this sort of thing, but she said, you don't know me. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. She said, I was that young lady in revival in Winnsboro after my husband was killed. And you preached a message. She named the message. I had forgotten it. She named the message, named the title, named the scripture, and God spoke to me and told me he was going to take care of me, and I just danced all over that place, and God broke out in revival. Attitude throws the lever. But here's the powerful point she made. She said, all three of my boys are preaching. They're all married. I got grandchildren in the church and we're all in the church. And I said, you know why we're all in the church is because you had the right attitude about your storm and your suffering. It brings you into a whole nother level. And she was just thanking me for preaching that message 30 years prior to that. That's what will lift you. That's what will make you. That's what will deliver you. That's what will cause you to start living out a divine design and not your natural one. because if you live out your natural desire, I don't know where you'll end up out there. By the time they twist your identity and they don't know who you are and you won't know who you are, and by the time they twist all of that around, you'll be so messed up, you won't know who you are or where you're going. I feel the glory in this house right now. I believe that God sent me here to show you this message so you would know where your strength comes from. And I think you ought to just take somebody by the hand and bring him to the front and let's begin to pray and let's just begin to seek the Lord. Come on, take somebody by the hand and bring him to the front and let's pray together and let's ask God to reveal this to us. I know that a lot of this stuff that we talk about, especially this kind of a message, God's got to do this in you. I can't, no amount of preaching alone will put this attitude in you. There's something in you that has to connect the dots and recognize the truth. No, I'm not saying everything's rosy in your life, and I'm not trying to overlook your suffering or my sympathy for you or my love for you. But I promise you, Kaya 30 years attitude throws the lever that brings the strength of God into your life, that lifting where the natural design is broken and a new design is forged in the fires of the Holy Ghost, and God begins to lift you, the lifter of your head, the lifter of the gates. Strength from above. Go ahead and let the Holy Ghost come on you. I feel an intercession happening in this house. Hallelujah. Give God an opportunity to throw that lever in your heart, to release that spiritual hydraulic, to set the attitude of the wing so that plane can be lifted to a new level. Right now, oh,
we hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.